baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Big show ahead of us. There it is. The recording has started, everybody. This is the worst walk-off thing we could possibly do.
No, the video is good. We're good for the video.
The video is good. Audio, just so you know, you missed 30 seconds of just gold off the top here.
The oft-neglected audio side. Although audio side does continue to grow in downloads. So we're like double what we were a month ago already. So we're pushing like 500 downloads an episode on the audio side. So much love and appreciation to the audio side. You didn't miss much, just the intro and the rundown. So,
all right. And we do have lots to get to on today's show. We did a little video on Wednesday, I think it was, about what a good fit the Milwaukee Brewers and Toronto Blue Jays are as trade partners. Just they really fill some of their needs that they're after and can both do so from areas of strength. We had a pile of Brewers fans kind of comment, and I was really impressed, number one, with just how well they know their organization and their limitations when it comes to budget, and they almost think like the general manager does, right? Is it's okay, 2 years of control left on our stars, time to move along.
Very pragmatic.
But they were very pragmatic and throwing out some really interesting tidbits on what they thought it would take for the Jays to acquire Corbin Burnes. So we thought we'd touch on that off the top of the show. The hole in the Jays outfield has yet to be filled. And even more frustrating, I think, for Jays fans is this front office hasn't really tipped their hand as to what direction they're going to go in. So there are some off-board options that we haven't really talked about before that we're going to get to. I think we're not going to really see anything at this point until the December meetings, which is frustrating, but you know, should have saw this coming. This is what happens every single year. The Jays front office is taking some heat this offseason over their failure to develop in-house bullpen pieces. So we'll dive into that and we'll look into the minor league system and evaluate if this is hopefully a problem that won't be a problem in about a year. The Phillies, my goodness, man, Philadelphia is just reeling after losing in six games the World Series, and now their star, their stud, Bryce Harper, underwent elbow surgery, and he's going to be out until almost the All-Star break. We'll talk that. The Giants make their pitch to Aaron Judge. Was it enough? And then we also have our website launch coming up. So we'll give a little tease there, maybe a little preview of what we got up our sleeves coming next week. Okay, buddy, let's get into it. That Wednesday video, it was a fun little video, and it does make sense. You know, the Brewers are an organization that never, and we touched on this on Wednesday, right? They never say die. They're not a team that's like, okay, time to rebuild, time to accumulate assets. They're very creative in the way they run their organization, and winning is paramount there. Tons of respect to the Milwaukee Brewers organization for constantly striving to pick up W's and to compete for a postseason spot.
Plus, so, one of the coolest logos in all of sports.
Love that logo. Oh, so classic.
So
right?
Clever,
that,
man. Oh, M it's and beautiful. The B as a baseball glove.
Love to see it. Mm-hmm. Like, to the point where I would buy a hat, I think, you know? Oh,
yeah. It's a good color scheme.
Yeah.
My mind was blown as a teenage boy when it was pointed out to me that that glove logo was an M.
Me too, buddy.
I was like, what?
And it had to be pointed out to me too. I was never clever enough to just see it in my own, you know, 17 years old being like, holy cow.
Do you know the hidden logo detail in the Blue Jays new logo?
No.
There's a bird, if you look closely. In the logo.
Oh,
yeah, a whole head of a bird, believe it or not. So
wow,
you got to kind of squint your eyes to see it, but it's there.
See, I was really,
I've heard there's a maple leaf, but I don't believe it. So
I was really blaming my youth on not picking up that Milwaukee lid, and no, not the case. All right. All right. So Brewers
let's
fans,
just cut that whole piece out of this. That was
I'm just sorry. Making us look like idiots. Yeah.
This is why we don't record this early in the morning, Scott. All right, let's get
Kirk here. Alejandro Kirk for Corbin Burns is kind of loosely what we threw out there, and we had a couple of comments from Milwaukee fans. One was more along the lines of, I saw Kirk play against the Brewers and he looked incredibly impressive, hit a dinger. He's like, I would be all right with that, but I think a one-for-one deal is just not enough for Corbin Burns. And I agree with that. I think when we brought up Kirk for Burns, the caveat was there is going to be some prospects sprinkled There's in there.
Almost never a one-for-one trade in any sports league. There's always that tertiary stuff to sprinkle on the side to balance things out.
So what balances this out? Now, I was a little surprised to see Brewers fans were not at all saying, give us more. They were saying, take more. Now, the guy they brought up, and it does make a lot of sense because we really did kind of go over the fact that the Milwaukee Brewers are kind of in shed salary mode right now. I don't think they're going to stay there, but they're going to shed their, you know, expensive pieces as they can, and then go to rebuilding a contending team as they do every few years. This is the Milwaukee Brewers MO. So they got rid of Josh Hader, right? Hunter Renfro. Wherever they can shed $10 million, Colton Wong is on the block. But you know where the big chunk of money is on this team? And Adam, you were the one who pointed this out.
Well, I think this actually came from the commenter.
Well, this came from the comments. You were the one that pointed out the comments, but Christian Yelich. And literally these Brewer fans were like, what about Kirk for Burns and Yelich?
Take some salary off our hands. Help us walk away from a contract that's going to see this guy get paid to 2042, believe it or not. It's one of those... Bobby Bonilla contracts, or he's getting $2 million a year into his 50s. So
now let's take a look at his contract. If you want to pull that up and give the details here, because Christian Yelich is still owed a lot of money, but is it worth it for the likes of Corbin Burns over the next 2 years?
So $26 million a year for the next 6 years. That takes him to his age 36 season. Then another $20 million in 2029 as a 37-year-old. And then the rest of it, I mean, he's technically a free agent at 38, but he is going to be where we would be on the hook for $2.3 million a year until he's 50. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. So what is the total price tag remaining?
I don't know. I'm not good at math. Dude, it is 9 a.m. I didn't get into stand-up comedy so I could do math at 9 a.m. Oh, this was not in the show notes, Scott. Well, what's 25 times 6 would be about $150 million if we round down. It'd be like $140-ish million. Someone... in the comment section, do the math for me and tell me how close I was. I'm saying 140-ish over six. See,
that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. Now, Christian Yelich is 30 years old. He is a shell of his former MVP self. Lefty bat, though. And an interesting little tidbit with Yelich, I really do think the elimination of the shift is he's going to be one of the guys that benefit from this. It's so funny with lefty bats now, right? Everyone's like, caveat, no shift, could change things. So let's take a look at what Christian Yelich has done over the last couple of years here. We are all aware of what he used to be, right? 2018, right. He won the National League MVP. He was...
Okay, so I'll go down the list here for you, Scott.
Yeah.
Notable awards, Gold Glove in 2014 as a 22-year-old, Silver Slugger in 2016. That's with the Marlins as well. Did get MVP votes that year, finished 19th. Peaked in 2018, 2019. Wait, does this ever sound familiar? An NL left-handed bat who peaked in 2018, 2019, and has struggled in the past three seasons. No, not Cody Bellinger. Christian Yelich.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Now, Christian Yelich. Wow, that is a big price tag. That I knew it was a big price tag. I didn't know that it was pushing $150 million still owed. Whew.
Now, does this, again, not to circle back and spend too much time on Cody Bellinger, but does this like make Cody Bellinger look a little bit more appealing?
Of course.
This is what I'm saying.
But you know what?
Corbin Burns makes Christian Yelich pretty appealing too.
Doesn't he? Doesn't he? So let's move on from this Brewer talk. I did just wish to really quickly bring it up because I thought it was interesting that Brewers fans were so quick to be like, take our money.
Yeah.
Take Burns. We'll keep the others.
Or, you can have your mac and cheese, but you got to have some more Brussels sprouts if you do.
Yeah, right? That's right. You've got to have 150 million pounds worth of Brussels sprouts to get your mac and cheese.
All right, we've gone off the rails here.
Let's get into outfield options because I think it's wearing on Jays fans, right? The lack of news. I know you're not our Twitter guy. I'm our Twitter guy. But, buddy, like, there is some impatient fans, and I'm in that category. It's just
look,
like...
I comb through the comments every day. We got one just the other day. We'll touch on it on Mailbag. But the gist of it is, Jays have painted themselves into a corner. They got rid of Teoscar. They've lost leverage on the trade market. I don't feel that strongly, but we do have a lot of comments. That's the tone, and it's kind of funny. Frustrating, but funny.
It's a great way of putting it. The sentiment does seem to be, if you're going to trade Teoscar, you better have had a plan. And if you had a plan, why hasn't it already come to fruition? Right. So now we have talked the outfield options out there a pile in the last month, as you will. Of course, we're well aware of the outfield options in Arizona and how nice Dalton Varsho would fit in with this club, lefty bat. We've talked the Cardinals, their need of a catcher now that Yadi's retiring, and how great Lars Nootbaar would fit in with the team. The Cubs and William Contreras going to free agency, and the fact that they could use a catcher to pair with Yan Gomes, and how well Ian Happ, who has been sought after by the Jays for like a year now, would fit into this outfield. Brandon Nemo and all the connections with the Jays there. Cody Bellinger, right? Like, there's plenty of options out there that we have talked about a half a dozen times each. So there was an Athletic article yesterday that was released where they kind of went over some options that haven't really been mentioned much. Okay, like, we're all aware. Listen, I'm not bringing up Brian Reynolds with the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates have been so vocal about not wanting to move him, and all the rumors are the price tag is so high, it's not going to happen. You got to have two partners. You know to dance, you got to have a partner, and if the Pirates aren't willing, then that's what it is. So let's start with the San Diego Padres.
All right.
Okay. They've expressed that they would like a catcher to pair with Austin Nola. He's a good catcher, Nola, but a slightly below average offensive catcher. He sits around 95 OPS plus. Trent Grisham is their center fielder, gold glove center fielder. Played the most games of his career last year with 151. Was a stalwart at that center field position. Literally like one of the best defensive outfielders in all of baseball right now. Of course, he had the worst statistical career, worst statistics of his career in 2022. His slash line was ugly, man. He hit 184, was his batting average on base percentage of under 300. It was 284 and a slug of 341. Now, he did bounce back in the playoffs. He had a great wild card. He had a great division series, but then he kind of fell off the planet again in the NLCS. He's a bounce back candidate and a bit of a roll of the dice. And this is kind of what I don't like about it, especially considering it's probably still going to take Danny Jansen to bring him on board. He does have some years of control. He did show in the past that he was proficient with the bat. This is definitely going to be a step down in production from Teoscar and a step up in defense. Whether this washes out in the end for wins above replacement and whether it's adjusted to weather. We need to wait and see. But yeah, Trent Grisham is an interesting bounce back candidate. My only problem with this, would you like, are you cool to give up a Danny Jansen for a roll of the dice?
No. And this is kind of the spot we've talked earlier in the offseason, is that I don't think we get rid of a catcher just for the sake of doing it. And that feels like what is what this move would be.
Yes.
Like a desperation play of like, well, we got to do something. And I don't think we're there.
I mean, if we're going to be that focused on defense, I'd rather just spend the money on Cody Bellinger.
Yeah. Agreed. Did I lose you, Scott?
No,
You're still here. Okay. It was just, you looked very still.
Yeah.
While you're waiting there. All right.
Yeah. No, my apologies.
I think I don't have an issue with this per se. I mean, it's doesn't get me excited. And I think if we're moving a catcher, it's got to be something that really does get me excited.
You know where I'm all right with getting Trent Grisham is if we don't move a catcher. You know, if they can manage to go out and make this trade and still keep all of their area of strength, you know, their trade pieces for pitching, which is this catching trio. If they can maybe move some prospects to bring in a Trent Grisham, I'm all right with that. We need something in the outfield right now. I'm not excited about Grisham, and I'm not by any means at the point where I'm like, we just need to fill a spot. But there is some upside there.
I don't want to move a catcher unless a pitcher's coming back, I guess. I mean, change my mind, but I don't mean you. I mean, the Jays could always surprise me with something that really does tinkle my fancy. But yeah,
how does everyone watching feel? Like, and please drop your comments below here when it comes to a guy like Trent Grisham and going all in on defense. Are you prepared to give up the asset that is a Danny Jansen to fill that type of hole? Because again, honestly, man, and I know you feel the same way. If we're going to go that route, I would far rather them spend some money on Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, no, me too. I'm right there with you. It is interesting to note this Athletic article does say the Padres have also expressed interest in Oakland's Sean Murphy. So I just pulled up his he had a really good season.
Yeah, Sean Murphy is the other catching available catcher out there.
So he did get MVP votes this year, finished 22nd. So it wasn't exactly like a contender for it, but I mean, that just speaks to the quality of season he had. A 250 batting average, OPS 759 and 18 home runs. What really stands out to me, 148 games played. That's massive for a catcher.
He was very similar to Kirk in that he, when he wasn't behind the dish, he was DHing. And that's how good his bat is, or productive anyways. Yeah.
So Danny Jansen, 260 batting average, OPS 855, zero MVP votes. Big reason, only 72 games played. Did have 15 home runs, so just three less home runs than Sean Murphy, and he did it in half as many games. So we have seen that power stroke from Danny Jansen. Look, if we can get Danny Jansen in the lineup, if he can be healthy this year, I know he's had a bit of a plagued history, a checkered past, if you will. That's a big if, but if he could stay on the field, whether it's, you know, part-time DH, if Kirk does leave, and some luck with the bad tacos, Danny Jansen could be elite.
He really could. I mean, honestly, if we could get, even if not elite, if we could get 120 games out of Danny Jansen, I think we've got a above average catcher, both offensively and defensively. And I think he's a 20 home run guy. Injuries has held the guy back. And maybe this is a reason why we're hearing his name come up in trades. Maybe this is something that the front office has evaluated and we just don't know something, right? Like, injuries are the big asterisk when you're bringing in a player or moving a guy, right? And yeah, Danny has that asterisk. So,
well, and it is funny how every team is willing to weigh that differently, right? There is, you know, do we take a chance on him? We just talked about with Trent Grisham, right? You roll the dice, whatever. But I don't know. I don't want to trade Danny Jansen after an injury plagued history. I just think the value on him is low right now, like from a trade perspective. I don't think he's our guy.
Yeah, I really, but reading these trade proposals in The Athletic, his name was brought up quite a bit. So, you know, he's being shopped and you know that he's viewed as a value. So his name's out there. Let's get to the next proposal here. And that would be knocking on the Chicago White Sox door. The White Sox could use a young, controllable catcher. I mean, there's a lot of organizations who would be open to that. Yasmani Grandel, who is offensively excellent, was super injury plagued last season. And I think they'd like a little bit of insurance behind the plate with Grandel still under contract for another couple years there. The Sox are attractive because you could bolster both the bullpen and the outfield. But I don't know if the outfield bolstering is exactly where we want to be again, right? Like, so the idea is the Jays would get Liam Hendricks, who has 2 years at $29 million left. Now, that would be, like, mind-blowingly awesome. This would Liam Hendricks being inserted to this Blue Jays bullpen would all of a sudden make them arguably the best bullpen in the American League. I mean, the Astros are right there, but my goodness, this Blue Jays bullpen would be pretty darn impressive when you've got Liam Hendricks, Eric Swanson, and Jordan Romano as your back end of the bullpen trio. Like, that is, they're all closers in their own right. It's very desirable, if you will. And I think that's the real linchpin to this proposal is Liam Hendricks and how much he bolsters that Blue Jays pen. Gavin Sheets, who is mostly a right fielder and he's not very good defensively, but he could probably play some left field, some right field, and then outfield prospect Yulky Cespedes. Now, this Cespedes is a top 10 prospect in the White Sox organization. He's a guy who's probably ready to make the jump to the major leagues as a fourth outfielder. Gavin Sheets is even a third, fourth outfield type guy. So in this scenario, I think the Blue Jays would have gone through all of their other rigmaroles. I don't know why I chose that word there. I can't even say it.
Oh, Scott.
It's too early, Adam.
People are going to listen to this when it finally gets out at like 2 p.m. and be like,
what are wrong with these guys today?
I'm slow at editing. Okay.
But basically what I'm getting to is if the Blue Jays go this route, they've kind of decided they're going to platoon Springer and Merrifield in center field. And I don't think that is the direction they would like to go. Gavin Sheets is a lefty bat. He does hit righties at a 118 OPS plus, you know. He wouldn't be Teoscar, I'll tell you that. He's not replacing that production. Cespedes is an interesting toolsy prospect. A lot of power, a lot of swing and miss. So his plate discipline lacks, as a lot of young prospects do, right? I just don't know if that's the direction the Blue Jays want to go. Also, it's kind of stated here, it would take Alejandro Kirk to get this deal done.
Okay. Is, in your mind, Liam Hendricks still elite, or is it name cachet?
No, I would say he's still elite.
I'm just looking at his stats right now, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pull these up so people can see what I'm talking about. So 2011 to 2018, career ERA through 245 games. So decent sample size, right? Across 8 years, 4.72.
Yes.
Was the ERA. A whip of 1.38. An ERA plus of 87. So well below league average.
And then he found it.
Then he found it, yes. Now, his numbers in 2019 and 2020, very impressive. pitched to a 1.8 ERA and a 1.78 ERA in 2019 and 2020. Now, 2020 was the short season.
Yeah.
Had a whip under one. His whip in 2020 was insane. 0.671. He got MVP votes that year.
Yeah.
But now in the most recent 2 years, now these numbers are not bad by any stretch, but they have started to come back up since leaving Oakland. So during his time with the White Sox, his ERA back up 2.6. The whip was still good, 0.871. I know whip is a bigger factor that you look at for relievers.
And that's an elite whip.
It is elite, but it's trending in the wrong direction. And that's my only point with a guy who is going to be 34 next year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that at all a concern to give up a
Alejandro
Kirk for a, what could be, I mean, he has, I think, 2 years left on his deal.
He does.
$14 million this year. And then a club option for $15 million when he's 35 years old. Is this
still throws 101?
Okay.
A little caveat here too. I mean, going from Oakland to Chicago, that Oakland Stadium is a pitching dream.
Right. Toronto is not a pitching dream.
No, it's not.
So,
but one thing I do really like about Hendricks,
especially with the infield walls getting moved in as we speak,
I like Hendricks for a few reasons. His experience. He's been through the rigmaroles. Hey, nailed it that time.
You did. Practice makes perfect. Good job.
No, but he's been through it all. He's overcome obstacles. He hasn't had an easy trek to the top. And if you're going to give me a guy who has a 0.8 whip and a 2.6 ERA, even if that is a trend down, yes, please. You know, his age does concern me a little, but honestly, you look at all these stud closers, you know, the Kenley Jansons, the Craig Kimbrels, they kind of just hit a point where they just know how to pitch.
Yeah. I mean,
I just don't know if I want to give up Alejandro Kirk for a bullpen arm and two lottery ticket outfielders. Gavin Sheets is who he is.
Yep.
You know, like, and this is why these are the not so often talked about trade proposals, right? Like,
well, this is the creative solutions that aren't necessarily the obvious ones that, and something similar.
And they could work out, man. Yeah. Like, it could work out, right? It's just,
I just don't like the idea of giving up one of our best assets. And yes, in return, the best piece of the trade that we get back is an aging star.
Yes.
On essentially a rental contract.
The final trade option that was proposed in this Athletic article was doing a interdivision trade, which I always dislike.
Mm-hmm.
But the Boston Red Sox have proved that they will trade within the division before. And the Sox do have some interesting pieces. Josh Winkowski, of course, he made his MLB debut last year. He was actually drafted by the Blue Jays, so they are aware of Winkowski. He didn't do all that well, but by the end was logging big time innings and looked a lot better than he did off the top. Of course, there's going to be a learning curve when it comes to facing MLB hitters for the first time. His ERA was above 5. Cutter Crawford would be included in this, and then Gerard Duran. And I think, listen, Gerard Duran, as soon as I saw his name on this, I'm like, oh, God, the guy that made 3 errors and was a big part of that 28-run Blue Jays thumping of the Red Sox. I don't want him, yeah. But he is an interesting option. He's a very good defensive center fielder, or at least he's projecting like he will get there. His speed is elite. He has made some bad routes. We've watched him make bad routes firsthand as Blue Jays fans. This would be for Danny Jansen is the name that they threw out. Again, this really, like you said, Adam, it feels like an option to trade a catcher just to trade a catcher, and I don't like it.
This is a March 27th trade.
Yeah. Yeah, this is every other, this is every other thing has fallen through. I still truly believe free agency is the way this front office is going to go to address the outfield hole. I really think Brandon Nimmo is still big on this list. And as time goes on, it seems like maybe his price isn't as high as everyone had originally thought. We'll need to wait and see there. I would prefer a flyer on a Cody Bellinger where it's just money than giving up an asset like Danny Jansen to go out and get a Trent Grisham. You know, like there's just of all of these options, not one of them got me excited. Even as I'm reading through them, I kind of felt like, ugh. And I try not to be biased. I know we both do, right? We're also honest and we are biased. Like everyone watching, yeah. Guys, we're biased. We're Jays fans. We can't help it. Maybe I'm overvaluing Danny Jansen. Maybe I'm overvaluing Alejandro Kirk. I just feel like these returns aren't enough. And if you're going to move a guy where you're like, is it enough? I want a pitcher coming back, right? Like, I want to at least we got a number three starter now.
Yeah. No, totally. You nailed it.
Did you have anything to add on any of this outfield stuff?
Nope.
Okay, then let's move along. We've talked enough outfield holes in this Blue Jays lineup over the last month. I'm almost sick of it. Mm-hmm. Let December meetings come so there's something else to talk about. I did want to bring up, if you want to pull it up here, Graham Chisholm of the Toronto Star wrote a really interesting article about how the Blue Jays front office, one of their Achilles heels, one of their failures over their tenure since taking over this organization in 2016, has been their lack of ability to develop in-house bullpen pieces. This is something we've watched the Houston Astros do very well. We've watched the Seattle Mariners do it very well. We've watched the Tampa Bay Rays do it very well. We've watched the Milwaukee Brewers do it very well. There are organizations out there that do it very well. But Adam, if you could kind of touch on here what you brought up before we hit record, and that basically is, this is not something.
Like it's true. Blue Jays
specific. Yeah.
But yeah, you know how many teams have a top five bullpen? I ran the numbers, man. There's five.
Five.
There's five of them. Yeah. This is like, yeah, it's true, but it is what it is. Like it is cyclical. It is something that comes in waves.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that almost every team goes through or is actively going through. It was for sure an issue come last trade deadline when we had really no sexy AAA, you know, knocking on MLB's door caliber relievers. Like,
yes,
never mind that we didn't have it to really call upon for our own use. We also weren't able to use it as a trade chip in negotiations. So I mean, did we pay the price for it last year? Yeah, absolutely. Is that something that is going to continue? I would say not. Like, we had like the Vancouver fans of baseball who live on the West Coast in Vancouver, mm-hmm. if you haven't made your way to Nat Bailey Stadium and caught a Vancouver Canadian game, like, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, do it. These are all like this Vancouver Canadians, especially last year. If you managed to catch some Canadians games in 2022, I think there's a lot of pitching in that high A team that isn't even there anymore. It's already moved on. And there's a lot of names that we are, as Blue Jays fans, going to see in a year or even next season. You know, like, there's a lot of guys coming up. Now, I get the crux of this article, which is basically, look at what they had to give up to get an Eric Swanson, right? A middle of the order bat, Teoscar Hernandez. Look at what they had to get up to give Trevor Richards, right? 35 home run from the left-hand side, Rowdy Tellez. You look at what they had to give up to get Anthony Bass, right? One of their top prospects in Jordan Groshans, who is already in a Miami Marlins uniform. He's already had his first hit, his first home run, his first stolen base, and is playing a good third base, right? So Chisholm's point is that if you don't develop bullpen pieces from within, you got to go out and you got to get them, and they're not cheap. And it's a good point. But like, to your point, Adam, this will, it is a cyclical thing, right? And this is a failure of this front office over their tenure. If you look at the homegrown bullpen pieces, you got Jordan Romano, and they kind of got lucky on Romano because they left him as a starter for too long. He wound up getting taken in that Rule 5 draft by the Texas Rangers, and he just didn't stick. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason Jordan Romano is in a Blue Jays uniform, is that he never wound up making it through the full season with the Texas Rangers, which is the caveat with that Rule 5 draft. Tim Mayza is a homegrown bullpen piece. People don't like to count him because they're still mad about that Seattle blow up, but he truly is a homegrown piece. And that's about it. It's a pretty short list of guys from within. I mean, there's the fringe dudes, right? Like Taylor Sesedo, who, best of luck to Sauce. He was always very good to us. He came on the podcast regular times. He's now a member of that New York Mets bullpen. You know, Matt Gage, also very generous with his time here, but he's probably going to a lesser team come this offseason, right? Like, yep. He was a guy who I think that would have been in a bullpen in a lot of different scenarios on a crappier team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, love to Matt Gage, by the way. No, Matt Gage is great. Disrespect there. Yeah,
just a veteran guy. He's in his 30s. Didn't have a whole lot of big league experience. So when you are in a playoff chase, it is a risky proposition to hand the ball over to a older guy with minimal experience. I mean, the stuff was good. His numbers were great when he did pitch.
Yeah, it was.
We actually said a couple times we were surprised that he didn't get called back up again later in the year and into September.
Especially when they needed a lefty. It was kind of weird.
But you made a good point. On a lesser team where the games maybe weren't as high of...
He would have gotten more opportunity.
Totally. So best of luck to him wherever he does land.
So let's flip this around and be a little bit positive here, because there is some reasons to be excited about what is in this Blue Jays minor league system and the possibility of some legit arms helping this bullpen in 2023. I know we chatted with Zach Britton, right? Prospect in the AA system. He's a catcher, lefty bat, really good kid. Honestly, his interview comes out on Saturday, but there was a moment where he was talking about pitching within this Blue Jays system, and some names he mentioned. The one that really stood out to me was Yosver Zulueta, right? And right away when we mentioned, hey, who are some guys that have impressed you? He was just like, man, Zulu was nasty. He was like, the first pitch he took in warmup, 60 feet out, he was literally like, it moved my glove back. And I was just like, oh, damn, I got to be ready to catch this guy. And then Zulueta proceeded to throw a bullpen session where his fastball was anywhere between 98 and 102 miles an hour. Now, this guy has struggled with injuries. It's why a lot of us maybe haven't heard of Yosver Zulueta. You know, there's the prospect junkies who, of course, know who he is. He was a international free agent brought out of Cuba 3 years ago, but he just hasn't been able to stay on the field. 2022 was really the first time where he was able to get a season in, and he moved from low A all the way up to triple A. I think he's going to start in triple A next season. But again, if he can, his big thing is location, as a lot of fireballer, 23-year-old fireballers is, right? So if he can locate, we very well could see, if there's some bad taco scenarios in the bullpen next year, he's a guy we could see brought up and who could stick, right? Yeah. If you could throw 102 miles an hour, look at what they did, Dominguez and Alvarado in Philadelphia, right? Mm-hmm. These are two guys who always had that gas, but couldn't figure out the strike zone. Soon as they did, what? They're like the two best relievers in all of baseball.
Yeah.
Okay. Hagen Danner is another good option with that sort of velocity, right? A little bit older, a little bit longer in the tooth, been around the game a little longer. He was a catcher. He understands the hitter mentality. I know when we first had him on the show, we've had him on a couple times, but when we first had him on the show, it was really funny listening to him talk about why he transitioned from a hitter to a pitcher. And he was like, well, I could throw 100 miles an hour and I couldn't hit.
No brainer there.
Because we even asked him, like, Adam, remember when we asked him what the organization said when he was asked if he could do it? And they were like, go for it. You're not hitting. Like, give her a go.
Yeah, it's either figure out how to pitch or find a new job altogether. So.
And he's another guy, too, that we probably would have seen in this bullpen last year, but had injury troubles.
Yeah.
He pitched in the Arizona Fall League, and other than the very first game, which was his first time pitching almost all season, he had a zero ERA. Now, I know he finished the Arizona Fall League with like a 3.5, but it's because he gave up, you know, a few runs in that first game. Right. But nonetheless, Haggy D has gas, has the ability to step into this bullpen and take the ball and run with it. Troy Watson is another guy. We're talking to him on Monday. Troy Watson has been in the system for 5 years now. He's made some real progress over the last year. Another guy who had some injury problems and is healthy now. He's got a good fastball and locates his pitches. Semrel Burse, it seems like every time his name comes up, what do people say? He's a pitcher. He's pitcherish.
He's pitcherish. Yeah. Which is a compliment, right?
Which is a big time compliment. And even when Zach Britton said it, I loved it because you stepped in right away. You're like, what does pitcherish mean? And he's like, he locates all four of his pitches. It's like anything you call, it's a strike. 21 years old, guys. 21 years old, out of the Netherlands. Really good kid. Really good head on his shoulders. And Semrel Burse is going to throw faster than 94 miles an hour, which is where he's topping out right now. He's a spindly 21-year-old kid. You wait. And Zach Britton even said that. He's like, oh, yeah, Roberts will be able to throw gas. Just give him some time. Ricky Tiedemann was brought up. Of course, we already are all aware and excited about Ricky Tiedemann. But if you just look at this organization, 1 year ago, these guys felt so far away. Mm-hmm. Hayden Junger is another guy who's we're probably going to see in the bullpen at some point if there's some bad tacos. Like these are all kids that were in Vancouver last year or the year before, right? These are all kids that were two or three levels away from the big leagues only 24 months prior to today. And now they're right on the verge. And this is where you were talking, right? Things are cyclical. And I think it took this front office till about 2020 to realize that maybe they should be looking into the draft at relievers. And this is something they never did. This front office very much was like, we're going to draft starters. If they turn into a reliever, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But the thing with that is there's a lot of those college guys who throw gas and have the ability. You just need to figure out where you're going to get the most value in which pick, right? You don't wish to pick them too soon and burn a sixth round pick that might be something more than a reliever, but you also don't want to leave a guy until the 20th round and then watch the Rays get them all, right? So
yeah, exactly.
We can move on from there unless you have anything to add. But I just thought that article, even though it was very correct in the way it was framing things, didn't really touch on the fact that there are guys coming up. And when it comes to bullpen pieces, it is cyclical.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, so last year you did a video of the most punchable faces in baseball.
I knew this is where we were going with this. By the way, Christian Yelich was on that list. Just because he's such a doofus-looking guy. Anyways, who are we talking about today from my
Bryce list? Harper.
Ah, yes, Bryce Harper. Yes.
Your crown jewel.
My crown jewel.
On the most punchable faces.
My thumbnail, I believe.
What I love about Bryce Harper is like he was so hateable as a kid. I think he was just overhyped. And whenever someone's overhyped, it's easy for fans on other teams to be like, oh, why are they still talking about
overrated.
Bryce Harper? Yeah, exactly. Well, Bryce Harper, if anything, might even be underrated now. He truly has become the superstar everyone thought he would be. But he just underwent elbow surgery. Man, what a freaking hit for the Philadelphia Phillies. The guy's going to be out until the All-Star break.
out until the All-Star break, and even once he returns, maybe only as a DH.
Yeah, which is mainly where he has been, but Philadelphia has been able to use the fact that Bryce can play a reasonable right field to kind of cycle guys through that DH spot, you know? So this is a hit for the Philadelphia Phillies, you know?
Yeah, big time.
Knocked out of
no slouch defensively. So
no slouch yet. One thing about the Phillies, though, I wonder if this, I mean, there's already a pile of rumors that they're in heavy on these top four shortstops available. You know, the Bogarts, the Dansby Swanson, and of course the two shining stars of Carlos Correa and Trey Turner have been rumored heavily with the Phillies. And I wonder if Harper not playing until July, if this team still considers themselves a World Series contender, and if so, if this puts a little bit more pressure on Dombrowski and the management to go out and actually make a splash.
So you're thinking the mindset may have shifted from being an all-out buyer a week ago to now we're not going to have Bryce Harper for the first half of the season. Now no point need- in... No, oh, okay. That's what no. I was wondering if you're
I'm
going
saying
is.
The other way.
We don't
the other
need
way.
To spend if we're going to miss the playoffs no, anyways.
I'd say the pressure is on now to definitely score one of those top four shortstops, okay. Right?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm with you there. I was going to push back if you were saying this is a take the foot off the gas thing because, they just went to game six of the World Series. This is a team who didn't even lock up a playoff spot until the last week of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a team who knows firsthand that you can get off to a slow start and still, you know, you just need a ticket to the dance, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly. And
no, I do expect them to go and spend. There you go.
Speaking of spending, Aaron Judge made his, or I should say the Giants made their pitch to Aaron Judge just the other day. This was kind of an interesting thing to see because really, it reminded me a little bit of the NBA with the way they court their superstars and how it's such a media circus. I think we'll all remember Kawhi being like, okay, I'm meeting with the Clippers. Now I'm meeting with the Lakers. Now I'm meeting with the Raptors again. Oh, shocking. Chicago's in on it. Right. And like, there's cameras, like they're reporting on his private jet. You know, it's not quite to that extent with Judge, but I mean, the media was well aware that he was meeting with the Giants and it was all on display and the Giants made a big thing of it. Normally it's all secretive and behind closed doors and only agencies are mentioning names, right? Boris is the only one out there being like, oh, the Jays are in on them, right? Like- Now I follow a few guys on Yankees Twitter.
Can I just jump in here before we get to the real news and just ask you something that I would absolutely love because I know you're an NBA guy. I'm not at all an NBA guy. But you remember the LeBron decision to leave Cleveland and go to Miami with,
of course,
Dwayne Wade and was it Chris Bosh? Was the other one?
Yes, it was.
See, I know some NBA stuff.
Yeah.
Remember that? Like,
you know, the biggest NBA thing to ever happen. Yeah.
Hey, I know the one thing, right? Michael Jordan's pretty good too, right? That announcement and how he revealed that, like, he wasn't going back to Cleveland and how people just burned jerseys in the streets. And it was just this big spectacle and in hindsight, probably a little bad taste for him to have made the announcement the way he did. Oh, would I ever love an Aaron Judge announcement like that?
Oh my God, wouldn't it? I want to see Aaron Judge walk through a flaming circle in a Giants uniform with, you know, fireworks in the background.
Mm-hmm. Big time. You know what? I'd even settle for the way like high school athletes are recruited for colleges and they make their announcement and they're at like a table at a press conference and their mom's standing behind them and they have the hats of all the different colleges that they're like considering. And then they make the announcement. They just like grab that hat off the table and they put it on. They're like, I'm going to North Carolina.
Ooh, yeah. You know?
I'd be so thrilled with something like that from Aaron Judge, where there's like a Mets hat and a Giants hat and a Dodgers hat and a Yankees hat and a, and he just like doesn't put on a Yankees hat, but he does the press conference in New York. Oh, I love that. Anyways, let's get to the real news about this now.
Okay, so John Heyman mentioned some stuff. Do you have these tweets ready to pull
up? I sure do. Yeah.
Okay, well, why don't you fill us in? I don't even have them in front of me.
Well, I don't have the John Heyman tweets. I have at Michigan Yankees.
Yes. Quoting. Yes. Just, yes. And this is what I was going to say, by the way. I follow some Yankees guys on Twitter, but I only follow the ones who are the least annoying and just like regurgitate other people's stuff. That's how I like to get my Yankees news.
Perfect. Perfect. It's got to be filtered. Got to be filtered. And just,
yes.
So this one comes in courtesy of at Michigan Yankees, but Heyman says, quote, the Giants are clearly gung-ho in their efforts and said to be elated by their visit this week with Aaron Judge. But the idea they hold an advantage as his, quote, hometown team seems suspicious. He's from Linden, California, 2 hours and a lifestyle away.
I mean, Red Deer is 2 hours away. Does that feel like it feels like home to me? I don't know. Like,
I'm going to clip that of you saying that Red Deer feels like home.
I mean, Alberta's Alberta. Like, how different is San Francisco from 2 hours away? Like, I get what he's saying, but I mean, home is home. I mean, it's a 2 hour drive to his parents' house. Like, what are we talking about here? Well,
it's not like Linden, California has their own Major League Baseball team.
Yeah.
That Aaron Judge would have been rooted for. Like, he was a Giants fan his whole life. A Giants fan. So this is such a, like, a Yankees perspective.
And, yeah,
like,
I love it.
It's hilarious.
Listen, yeah. I just want Aaron Judge to be happy. And I think that home is where the heart is. And I just think that he should go home. Go home, Aaron.
Go home.
San Francisco's beautiful. I've been to Oracle Park. No better park to be in. And to you, Aaron Judge, I say, you know what? Follow your heart. And again, go home. Go home. Go home.
I love it. I love it. All right.
All right. Let's end on this. We're going to end on the fact that we, the Walk-Off Podcast, we've done it. We've kind of stepped our game up, if you will. We've got a website coming out. We've got all of our guests and stuff that we have done on it. We have clickable links to the podcast. We have a comedy section where you can hire us for your events and also check out our comedy. We've got articles that we're going to be putting out. And we've got a merch section. And it's a pretty darn cool merch section.
With loads of socks. We have lots of socks.
Some unofficial Blue Jays stuff. We've tried really, by the way, we're still proving we're not great technologically. We're trying to have all those socks just in one where you can pick the color, but we couldn't really figure out how to do that. But we're working on it.
Look, I got it thrown up on the display here. These are placeholders, essentially, on this merch store. So don't get excited for $15 socks. We are for sure going to charge you a lot more than $15 per pair of amazing. No, these designs and everything are placeholders. The prices are placeholders. This is just, you know, for us to work through the kinks. Even the color scheme of the website is not finalized.
Not done yet. Goodness. No.
So if you're looking at that ugly gray blue sky and bummed out by it, don't worry, we felt the same way. So it is all being worked on. That should be live Monday.
That's the dream. Yes.
Okay. And then we're going to have some written articles. We're going to dive into the world of written articles. So Scott and I will both be doing some written articles and we're going to have some other guest contributors as well. So
exactly. So
new weekly articles, because who doesn't love reading?
Honestly, this has so much to do with you, the Walk-Off community. I have been pretty blown away by over the last couple of years, just how much this is growing and kind of become its own thing, you know. And when Adam and I first started this podcast, we were literally doing it to fill time during the pandemic until we could go back out on the road and work comedy again, because, you know, all the venues were closed, so you couldn't do anything. And here we are, man. It's a real thing.
Well, it's happening. So, yeah, thanks to all the love and support we've had and encouragement to keep going when we've had some frustrating stumbles along the way and some really encouraging moments as well. So,
lovey-dovey, just little things, honestly, little things like shout out to, like, let's say Rashid, right? Where's Rashid again?
I think he's in Qatar. He's in the Middle East.
Right. Yeah, no, he has helped us out numerous times. It's been very, very kind of him. Taco Time. I don't know what name he's rolling with.
It changes every. It's a Tapia fan. I don't know. Definitely not a Tapia thing. The Rashid ones are always funny though, because he'll send us a message. He'll be like, "You guys are good, but your quality sucks. So
yes,
let me throw some money at this problem.
Yeah,
help you guys." Yeah. Improve the sound or improve this or whatever. So
honestly, all the times that you see stats and stuff that we're able to bring up, that was all Rashid, right? Yeah. He got us our little board. And anyways, everyone in Discord, all of our Patreon, anyways,
it's a big team effort to get the new computer up and running. So it is an,
yeah, it really was like, guys,
get the daily content out. The clips
we needed a $1,500 computer, and you guys stepped up and got it for us. Like, I just, anyways, it's so pretty
a lot of the growth we owe to you guys. Thank you so much.
So thank you so much. We'll end there. If you haven't subscribed yet and have listened to all of this rambling to this point, please do hit the like button. You can join us and reach out on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, on Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast, and of course, join the Discord. Link is in the show notes. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and cracker shows to picture. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.